U.S. factory activity slowed amid a fall in new orders.
Based on hitting a shareholder value. As market capitalization raises, he won't
get any.
They're
going a lot more global, so creating more programming not only for, you know, us here in the English-speaking U.S., but elsewhere as well.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And here we are. Welcome to Friday afternoon from the Allstate Skyline Studio. It is 12:11 on this Friday. You heard Andrea Haines's voice there. She's the editor at Blue Sky. We'll talk with her in just a sec. Also, later in the program, Tom Gimble comes by to talk. I think LaSalle Network just celebrated their 20 years in the business. And in this time of tech frenzy, how does a old-fashioned regular business compete with tech? We'll talk to Tom about that a little later in the program as well. We'll go to, I think it's Wichert or near Wichert, to talk to the only yak farmer I've ever heard of, and we'll get a little play on that. But right now, let's say hello to Andrea Haines from Blue Sky Innovation. How are you, Andrea?
Good. How are you, Steve?
Good. You know, the weeks are blowing by. I'm starting to laugh because Ben Meyerson was in for you last week, and I introduced him as being from a different publication.
Oh, funny. Did he leap over the table at you, or was he polite?
It was one of those things where you saw the look on his face. I'm like, I know I did something wrong here, but we fixed it. Okay. So big news this week has to do with Salesforce, right? The fact that they want to greatly expand. They've got quite a presence in Chicago now.
They do. They have about 1,500 employees here now, I believe. But they're looking at a potentially really large expansion in which they would add up to 5,000 jobs, which is huge.
Right.
And also potentially, you know, fuel a new skyscraper.
Well, that's the thing. So they, a lot, we're talking tech, and Google is on the near west side. They went into an older building, right? They didn't build their own. A lot of these tech companies have the funky old buildings, but
Salesforce likes shiny and new. So Salesforce, for those who don't know, because they're not quite as famous as some of the consumer tech companies, but they're very big, and they do business-to-business software, and lots of businesses use it. And, you know, they're a massive company, and an addition of 5,000 jobs is significant. I mean, that's a very big number.
So they're looking at a couple of spots, right? The new building, the third of three to be built on Wolf Point along the river. Or I drive by that fire station on Dearborn every morning coming to work. And on Dearborn in maybe State, mm-hmm, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And they're going to tear that down, put a new building up, and maybe they would be there. But here's the thing. They want to put a big video billboard on the side of their building, right?
There's the rub. It's a pretty big one, right?
And this is like Sophie's Choice for Rahm Emanuel, right?
He loves
tech.
Love those tech jobs.
But you got to protect the skyline, too.
Yeah, and as you know, that we can pretty much look at it from here if we bend our necks a little bit. The Trump Tower, which has the massive signage on it.
Right, which was an issue.
Created a big issue. People are still, of course, talking about it. That's not an electronic sign, but it has extremely large letters compared to what others in the city have been allowed to do. So Trump was allowed to do that, and they're still hand-wringing about it. So now it becomes, you know, up the river a little bit. Do we have a massive electronic billboard, or do we not?
And what do you think happens?
I don't know what to think. I mean, I think that we want those jobs, and they'll probably figure out a way to get them. I don't know, the electronic signs, maybe I'm in the minority here, but they don't bother me as much. To me, they don't
feel permanent.
They just feel like it's part of our current landscape. It doesn't bother
and
me
it's
all that much.
And it changes. It's not one thing all the time.
It will change. You know, I'm sure they want to use it for their own branding, but it does potentially change. So maybe there can be negotiation around what's on it, what hours is it, you know, there's maybe some things
that
can
be discussed.
But then
if you do one, it becomes Hong Kong, or, you know, the next building's going to want one.
Times Square,
right.
Yeah.
I say no. We don't need those jobs.
Yeah, I think many would agree.
I think they'd probably come without the
Find a compromise.
I think
somehow,
that's probably it. Okay, another great story. I love this story about virtual reality. And we talk about how augmented reality and virtual reality will be used in the future. It is a beautiful story, really, about how this company is using virtual reality to help people who treat with or who live with people with Alzheimer's.
Exactly. So Lisa Schenker at the Tribune Business Section wrote this story. And as you point out, it's just a really nice story about an application of technology that can make us better people and better caretakers and understand people's problems better. And this allows you to use virtual reality via a headset to sort of experience the sights and sounds of what an Alzheimer's patient would experience.
So you become a different person, right? You're presented into a scenario as if you're maybe in a grocery store, things like that. You can even move your hands or move the hands in virtual reality to just sort of understand the fog of some of it.
It does. And it's just even reading the story, it helps illuminate what people are experiencing. I mean, you think about memory loss and maybe sensory things, but it just helps you even imagine what it would be like to be experiencing some of the frightening aspects of it, the disconcerting aspects of it, how you see things, and just how, you know, then you can be more empathetic to that and be a better caretaker, be it a professional caretaker. Or again, just by reading the story, I think it almost could make you more empathetic.
Well, I know Chicago Methodist Senior Services is using it. Rush has got a pilot program with it. But what I like about it too is just if you're a home caregiver or a husband or wife or son, to get a better understanding of what your loved one is going through, it not only might increase your patience, but it might help you just be with them too.
Yeah, so, it's nice hard story. To walk in another's shoes, right? And this kind of gives you a pretty vivid way of doing that.
I don't know if we mentioned it, but what's the name of the company?
The company is not based
Labs.
Here. It's being used here, but it's called Embodied Labs.
Okay, so we don't know about that, but we all know about Alexa. And there's this new Alexa Lite or Alexa Children's Edition? I love this story.
Yes, there's a Children's Edition of Alexa, which is kind of fun. You know, you ask Alexa something, she answers something. Is that the answer you want your kids to hear?
Where do babies
maybe
come
want
from?
Your kids to hear right. a different answer.
Hey, Alexa, say this. I was 12. I know those games.
Where do babies come from, Alexa? You know, if you're an adult, she's going to give you one answer. If you're a kid, she's going to say, well, people make people, but how they're made would be a better question for
your
a grown-up.
Mom or dad, yeah. And this is called, it's not Alexa Lite. What's it called?
It's called Free Time.
Free Time, okay.
Yeah.
And this is available to parents now if they want to set this up.
Exactly.
All right, you want to role play? Alexa, who is Stormy Daniels?
Stormy Daniels is an adult film actress from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
That's the answer all of us get. But on Free Time, Alexa, who is Stormy Daniels?
Sorry, I don't know that. She says innocently.
That is Andrea Haynes. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve. You ain't gonna rock and roll no more.
Don't talk back. Just finish cleaning up your room. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank on 720 WGN. Yakety yak in the background. That is not for Tom Gimbel, the CEO of LaSalle Network. We're going to talk later in the next half hour with the owner, Yak Farmer.
Oh.
Down in, I think they're in Kankakee County, down in Wichert.
That's
and,
cool.
And I think there's only one Yak Farm. There's only one LaSalle Network, and there's only one Yak Farm in Illinois. So
that'd be right.
We're going to learn all about that. How are you, friend? Welcome
Knock
back.
On wood, I'm doing well.
Yeah, everyone is good.
Yes, I dropped my son off at the University of Alabama for hopefully what will be just a 4-year trip.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide roll, as they say down
there. Maybe 3.5. You know, you never know.
You know what? I'd go for 4.
Why waste it if you're there?
If you're there.
So you've got that milestone, and yep. then LaSalle Network is celebrating 20 years. This
20
week,
years
right?
in business.
Wow.
It's
now, I don't know the history of it. It's all you.
Yeah, so I started the company alone. We never took investor money, private equity money, anything like that. So we've done that, and I've been fortunate that I've assembled a great team. My executive team averages over 10 years with me during this. But most of our growth has really been the last of people, 3-4 years. We've gone from about 60 people just under 3 years ago to about 260.
I remember when we were talking, I don't know if it was a year ago, 18 months, and you said, yeah, I'm hiring 100 people this year.
And it's crazy. I mean, you don't realize how many people you're onboarding. You know, it's interesting.
So, you know, there's a parallel there, isn't there, from a startup that starts to grow really fast? I mean, you certainly weren't a startup, but that's pretty rapid growth.
Yeah.
And you've got to figure out a way to maintain that, to further it, but to not get too big too fast.
Yeah, they're really the of any growth company, and I'm fortunate because, as you know, we find people for companies. So
right.
I get to see this from the outside looking in, and then I'm doing it simultaneously for my own company. And we've had a lot of growth, and I think the biggest challenge is trying to have a good culture and high growth, because there's an expression that success hides a lot of problems.
Oh, sure. The better things are, you're not going to. 100 cultural awards or things like that. You guys have
we've won.
Up?
We've been best places to work, and we just won the Chicago Innovation Award for coolest company in Chicago, which is it's hard to do not being a tech company.
Well, everyone focuses on tech.
Correct.
So when we talk about culture all the time, but so a positive culture, does that mean if I were to go into your workplace, everyone is going to tell me they love being there? Is that how you measure a culture?
Well, I think, you know, maybe I've said this on the air before, but it's like the Supreme Court definition of pornography, right? You can't describe you know it, but you know when you see it.
Yeah.
And there's a buzz. I had a buddy of mine, he's CEO of a well-known tech company in Chicago, and he came over for coffee the other day, and he was walking through, and he goes, God, there's an electricity here. He goes, you can feel it. There's just a, there's an intangible buzz.
Has that buzz changed as you've gotten bigger?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
In what way?
Well, I think I think the buzz gets stronger, and some, I mean, there's buzzes can be annoying too. and I think it's realizing that sometimes the culture gets out ahead of the business. Right. And people think that every day is a party.
Right.
And other times people forget that they're working so hard that you still have to party and celebrate. I don't mean party, booze, and
sure,
you know,
sure.
But just enjoy the moment, enjoy your coworkers.
So the idea then of you growing, and you know, all the glory these days seems to go to tech companies.
Yeah.
Is there a chip on your shoulder for that, or how do you compete? Is it harder for you to bring people into your building because you're not a tech company?
I don't know if there's probably a little bit of a chip on my shoulder against any company, but you know, if a company in Chicago had added 200 jobs in the past 20 months and had been some of the recognition we've gotten and done with some of the clients we had, it'd be a big deal,
right?
And the mayor isn't showing up at my door.
Those are the numbers the mayor has news conferences.
Yeah, I haven't seen the mayor yet. So
if you were had an office in Northbrook and were moving it downtown,
oh, I can tell you, right? he'd leave the East Bank Club early from the morning workout and come see me. But I think the tech companies are doing great things, and I understand the tech enablement, and I think that's great. And also in Chicago, we need to compete on all levels, technology and brick and mortar companies, and we need to make sure we're very employer friendly.
Tom Gimbel is the CEO, founder of LaSalle Network. You can find him at LaSalle Network, at Tom Gimbel.
On Twitter and Facebook, LaSalle Network.
So, big party tonight?
Big party tonight.
What's going on with that?
Can't tell. It's a surprise for the 260 people. So, we do the surprise. We have some fun transportation in a couple different locations we go to.
But you're all staying in this area.
We're going to be in downtown Chicago.
Okay. All right. Well, have a great time. Enjoy that.
I appreciate it.
We'll talk again next week.
Yep. See you next week.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. All right, in the studio with us now is Diana Feeney. She's the president and owner of D. Feeney Counseling and Consulting. Diana, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thank you, Steve.
Counseling and consulting.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about people here who are suffering from addictions.
Yeah, so one of my main groups is for substance use for professionals, meaning professionals who are dealing with substance abuse problems.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the group is meant for clients that are successful. And just to jump off of your last guest.
Yeah, Tom Gimbel.
Yeah, he had made the statement that success hides problems, and that's definitely true.
You find that, don't you?
Absolutely.
And so when someone might be successful or flying high, mm-hmm. look at the phrase, right?
Exactly.
Flying high at work, they might not be coming to terms with just what they're dealing with until it gets too late, or tell me about that.
Right. It's, you know, they're the high-functioning addicts, and it tends to be that their high-functioning is actually the problem because their environment is really not showing them that there's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
The environment that they work in and they're successful in, and so they can't really see a problem.
Are we talking about C-suite people, or who are we talking about, or your clients?
Executives, CEOs, CFOs, right. Definitely lawyers, medical professionals, many people who, because of their success or even because of the job they work in, they couldn't possibly be addicted. It just doesn't match to what they do.
Right.
But it's there. And as I had said, it does tend to show up at home first.
I would imagine that one of the reasons people don't come to get treatment is just it must be a personal sort of admission.
Mm-hmm.
But then also the fear about the career. Right?
Absolutely.
And so how do you deal with that?
Really, I think that a lot of that is an internal belief that something, if they come out and say that they need help, that somehow they're weak, they're not as powerful as their title may say that they are.
Sure.
Or that they're jeopardizing their position somehow. And I believe that there probably are some roles like that, which is why I really want to make sure that they understand that it is complete anonymity. The purpose of my group is to be anonymous and flexible for them so that they can get the help that they need without the whole world knowing that they're there.
And this is an outpatient service.
Right, right. They
where
do
are you
it
located?
Well, I'm in Westmont, Illinois, okay. And so they can come to the group and they can work during the day. They can be at home with their family and then come to treatment.
I would imagine that with your business, part of this is you have individuals coming to you, but mm-hmm. you must, there are professional situations, right, where the employer or the HR department will say, you know, we need
Absolutely.
To get this resolved, and then they you find clients through HR departments?
Absolutely. HR, EAP, right. Employment Assistance Programs, definitely. And, you know, and they may come to the EAP for a different reason. They may be having, relationship issues, which is usually one of the first things that goes is relationships. But they may be coming because they're going through a divorce or, you know, just dealing with depression and anxiety. And then the core issue really is substance
abuse. I see. And then it comes through that way.
Exactly.
I was reading your blog and you talked about the trickiness of this. Alcohol and tobacco kill so many more people than opioids or
Absolutely.
Accidents or things like that. Alcohol and tobacco are socially acceptable.
Socially acceptable, legal.
Yeah.
That's the thing, you know, with this new marijuana law. Just because something's legal doesn't mean it's safe. They're actually the two most dangerous drugs.
It doesn't mean it can't get you in trouble if
Absolutely.
It's used badly, right?
Absolutely. And the thing with alcohol, because it's so socially acceptable, tobacco is obviously today less socially
Isn't
acceptable.
Isn't it funny? Yeah, right.
But tobacco or alcohol is encouraged socially. And especially, you know, I think about those professionals and the high executives and their lifestyle, you know, all the galas and the fundraising and all that. And it's all alcohol-based.
Some people might think they need to use alcohol to get ahead or
Absolutely.
To be socially. Do you
Absolutely.
Find that?
Yeah. Yes. It's their way in, not their way out. So it's definitely something that helps them get in the door. And it's, in a lot of people, that's a tricky situation.
Well, hopefully there are people listening here who can help or know someone who or wants some help.
Absolutely.
How do they find you?
They can call me, 630-481-4101, or go to my website, www.dfeeneycounseling.com.
D. Feeney Counseling, and Feeney spelled F-E-E-N-E-Y.
Exactly.
Tell me about you. Is it, it must be great reward when you see someone come through,
mm-hmm.
but you must need great determination for those who you don't see come through.
True. I have been in this field, like I said, for about 20 years. I myself am a recovering person. So I went through this process. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a professional when I went through this process, but I am a recovering person. And just in my own life, I just see so many people that I wish if they knew what the real issue was and addressed the real issue, so many other things would fall into place.
It could
for
be
them.
Better.
Mm-hmm.
Diana
Absolutely.
Feeney, great to talk to you.
Thank you, Steve.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Every year, Chicago Inno is on its game when ranking some of the best Chicago tech companies. And sure enough, award season's here. And based on audience votes, LaSalle Network earned the top overall spot. Hey, that's the same LaSalle Network that's on the Wintrust Business Lunch with regular guest Tom Gimbel. Way to go, Tom. What earned them top honors? Their corporate social responsibility program for employees. More and more of these programs are popping up across the business world, so keep an eye out for them. And these are just some of the changes we're going to see in the business world. And changes are coming to the largest grocer in the U.S., as Kroger is pledging to stop the use of plastic bags at all of their stores by 2025. That's over 6 billion plastic bags from 2,700 stores across 35 states, including Mariano's. And it sounds like they want to do it right by working with customers closely and seeking feedback. Better bust out those reusable totes stuffed in the back of that closet. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much, Ori and Samuelson. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's community bank, here on 720 WGN. All right, our number of the week is 50,000. And this comes from our friends at 538.com. Every year, we flush nearly 3 billion, that's not the number of the week, we flush nearly 3 billion contact lenses down our sinks and toilets. After wastewater treatment, that translates to about 50,000 pounds of contact sewage sludge. So there's the number of the week. I'm not sure how uplifting that was. We'll go from there to downstate Illinois, or not too far. Jim Miedema is on a phone line. He is the owner of Goat Tracks Farm, which is not goat farm really, but a yak farm. Jim, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm not too bad. Do we know each other? Have we ever run across each other? I don't know.
Well, I think you're in my area. You're down south by Manteno, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and you know, I know Wichert, the land of the Skosmas and the Sikmas and the Hoekstras, and that's where you're from, right?
That's correct. A lot of us use her down this way.
And so how is it that you found yourself farming yak there?
We got into it about 4 years ago. My wife was always interested in them. Our heritage is gladiolas and vegetables, but we got out of the farmer's markets a few years back. We had trouble getting some guys across the border, and we started raising animals and goats and chickens, and my wife wanted to get into yak.
Yeah.
And I said, they're pretty big. I said, let's go look at them first. And we visited a farm, and they're a very docile animal, very, very friendly. They've been domesticated forever, and they're very useful from meats to fiber. Easier on your ground than cattle.
Is farming yak, I would imagine it's easier. Well, I don't know if easier is the right word, but it must be dramatically different from waking up every weekend morning and loading up your produce and trying to sell it at farmers markets around the area.
It's a little bit different. Yes. Yes, it is. It's nice to have people down. We enjoy showing off at the farm, and we get to go do a couple of the yak shows every year and show our animals. We're in for the breeding right now, and the fiber. My wife's big in making us hats and stuff. We also raise baby doll sheep for the fiber.
Let me ask you one more farmer's market question, because I've always wondered this, and I have friends who grew up around St. Anne and that whole area, and I know that it's big in truck farming there. Why is it that those vegetable farms are concentrated in that area? Is it because of the soil or something, or just because of tradition?
It is a soil. The Dutch found an area that they could drain off. It was a very fertile area, so they did flowers and vegetables. There's a couple, three areas in Illinois that are very similar to that. Vincennes, Indiana also was a good area for that. And my dad was one of the first farmers on the Evanston market in 72, which I believe was the first Chicago market.
Is that right?
I started in 73, and we ran for many, many years.
All right, tell me then about yaks. And you mentioned that your wife gets it. They shed in the spring, or is that? Tell me about the crop that you get from their coat.
You comb a yak like you do your dog to get the fiber hair off of them, and they start shedding about March, and then we comb them 3-4 times to get their fiber off, and usually from March to May. And then they'll grow a new coat in the wintertime. If you shave them, it'd take them 2 to 3 years to replace that.
I see. So okay. And then you ship that fiber off, and that becomes high-priced yarn?
Yes, it does. They're just like there's microbreweries, there's micro mills, and you find better ones and such. And we'll be lucky to get 15 pounds of fiber off of every year.
Wow.
Our yak. And then we'll condense them down as much as we can. That's pretty pretty big box, actually, because it doesn't weigh anything. And out of that, we'll be lucky to get back 5 pounds of processed yarn. Yep.
You mentioned the meat, but do you slaughter your animals?
We haven't got to that point yet. We are in the breeding, and we've been selling all our offspring right now. We bought high-end yaks, and we're into the breeding for high-end yaks. Yaks are a closed group in the United States. They don't allow any more in or any more out. And there's two big yak associations, IYAK and US Yaks, and all of our yaks are DNA tested and proven this big B lineage from those yaks.
How many head do you have?
We run 8 heifers and a bull, and right now we have 3 calves. We've sold 2 calves this spring, and we're expecting 2 more in the next month or so.
Jim Miedema is the owner of Goat Tracks Farm. All right, Jim, what's your favorite part of all this?
Really, it's showing off. They're a majestic animal. People come by, they think they're buffalo, or they're not quite sure what they are. And they're very docile. Where they almost always you can pet them if you're not between a mom and a calf, or in between a bull and one of his girlfriends.
Well, I don't want to get between one of his girlfriends and the bull. I'm just not going to do that, Jim.
That's not a good idea.
It's great to talk to you. Listen, I love following you on Instagram, and I wish you continued success. I'll keep track.
Please do. If I have everyone follow us on Goat Tracks Farm, TRAXFARM on Facebook. Yeah. And
You guys are a lot of fun on social media. That's how I found you.
Super. Thank you.
You bet. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch. Here we are on 720 WGN.